Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have a tendency to overthink things. Years ago, I adopted a dog, but before I adopted the dog, I had to read books about owning a dog. And I got all sorts of books, Puppy Come Home, Dogs for Dummies, The Dog Encyclopedia, How Dogs Think. I think I counted them one time. I must have had 21 books on taking care of dogs. And that's not to mention the websites that I was looking at, Paws and Pet Finder and APA and Humane Society. And with all of the reading about keeping dogs and all of the websites and visiting the animal shelters and talking to dog owners, I never had time to actually adopt a dog, right? I was worried. I wanted to make sure that I had covered every possibility. I knew what I was getting into, and I was fit for the task. I have a tendency to overthink things, which is why I am puzzled, and I'll admit a little bit frightened, but ultimately thankful for our gospel reading this morning. Because in our gospel reading, Jesus graciously stops our overthinking and immerses us in his mission. Jesus graciously stops our overthinking. In our gospel lesson, Jesus sends out 72 disciples to engage in mission. Now, if Jesus had asked me, and I will acknowledge that wisely he didn't, but if Jesus had asked me, I would have told him he had not thought through this enough. I mean, after all, he admits that they are understaffed. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the workers are few. They are understaffed. When you have low enrollment of seminary students, you don't go starting new mission plants. You don't invest in some wonderful new cross-cultural mission plants when you can't even cultivate enough students to staff the churches you already have. You're understaffed. It would make sense to work on enrollment. But Jesus sends them out. And not only are they understaffed, they're ill-equipped. They're not able to take along money or a purse, or sandals. They're going to rely on the hospitality of the people with whom they're sharing the gospel. Yeah, could you feed and give me some clothing and money? Oh no, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. I mean, we need to build up a donor base, right? We need to cultivate enough donors so that we can have enough funds so that we can thoroughly equip our students before we send them out. So they're understaffed and ill-equipped and actually unprepared. Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. What do wolves do to lambs? Is this a good shepherd sending lambs in the midst of wolves? I mean, I would say what we need is we need to do some demographic profile of the geographic area into which we're sending you, right? Let's do some asset mapping and figure out what the assets and the needs are in the community and then figure out what we can do so that we can be prepared or at least have a witness workshop on testimony in the time of trial, or better yet, have a systematics course on church and world where we don't learn about moralistic therapeutic deism, but we learn about being a theologian of the cross in a polytheistic culture. That's what we need. Understaffed, ill-equipped, unprepared, and uninformed, they are to preach the kingdom of God. What do they know about the kingdom of God? Jesus has predicted his passion, his death and resurrection, and they don't even get that. Do you send people out who don't even know the gospel? But Jesus graciously stops our overthinking and sends out disciples who are understaffed, ill-equipped, unprepared, and uninformed. Why? Because the kingdom of God does not rest on your abilities. It does not rest on your knowledge. It does not rest on your skills. The kingdom of God belongs to Christ, and God has sent him out to do the work of his kingdom. And Jesus Christ is very prepared to take care of any mess that you make. You would know that if you've been reading the Gospel of Luke. Because right before this, Jesus has been taking care of messes. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration in the chapter before. He's up there with the disciples, Peter, James, and John. He gives them a glimpse of his heavenly glory. And then they leave that mountain and come down to the plain. And what do they find? They find a mess that was created by the inability of his disciples. A father had brought his child to the disciples. His child was possessed with a demon. The demon would throw his child on the ground, cause it to foam at the mouth, and he brought his child to the disciples to cast out the demon, and they were not able to. And so there has arisen an argument and distress over a child's life that is in danger, and Jesus enters into that mess, and what does he do? Well, in so many words, he just says, leave them alone. I'll take care of this. And he takes that child, he casts the demon out of him, and he gives the child to his father. And they go on. They're headed toward Jerusalem. And as they're walking along, they find a man who is casting out demons in Jesus' name. But this man is not following them. And so John comes to Jesus and John says, we got a mess here, right? We got a man who's casting out demons in your name. Now remember, the disciples were not able to cast out demons in Jesus' name. That's why there was a mess. And now you got somebody who is able to do it, but he's not one of us. What are we supposed to do? And Jesus, in so many words, says, leave him alone. I've got this. And then they pass by a Samaritan village. Jesus sends the disciples there to create a place for them to stay for the night. But when the Samaritans find out that they're headed toward Jerusalem, they close the doors. And having experienced such prejudice, the disciples come to Jesus. And James and John, who had been on the mountain and seen the glory, James and John, they say to Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? And Jesus says, leave them alone. I've got this. Jesus has entered into messed up situation after messed up situation until he comes to the most messed up situation of all. When he comes to Jerusalem and God's people reject their Messiah. They nail him to a cross and hang him out to die. And as they've thrown him to the ground and they're stretching out his arms and they're nailing his hands to the cross, what does Jesus do? He prays to his Father and says, Father, forgive them. Leave them alone. I've got this. Jesus takes our mess and he takes our inability and he takes our sins and the punishment of God and he dies under all of that that he might rise and rule over it so that you can be confident when he sends you out understaffed, ill-equipped, unprepared, and uninformed in mission because Jesus can take care of any mess that you create. It's his mission, after all. Not yours, not mine, not ours, it's his. And Luke is very specific about that. He begins the account by saying, Jesus sent them out ahead of him. Do you see that? Ahead of him. Meaning that wherever you go, Jesus is going to come. Whatever mess you create, Jesus is going to enter into it. And in case you didn't get it, the next sentence, Luke says, he sent them to the cities and places where he was about to go. Jesus will follow you wherever you go and whatever you do in his kingdom. He is going to come and bring pleasure eternal. Life is complex, and mission in this world is a mess. But we do it in confidence in our Lord. He's just asking you to drop a few seeds, to knock on a door, to start a conversation, because he will come. He will come, and this earth will be filled with his glory. And all nations will gather before his throne, and all voices will sing praise to our Lord Almighty. And so we engage in mission with a humble confidence. Humble because we are understaffed, we are ill-equipped, we are unprepared and uninformed. Humble but confident because Jesus is our Lord. I remember a seminary student who once showed me that humble confidence in a delightful way. And it was actually so funny that after class, I asked him, I said, is it okay if I tell people this story? I said, I won't share your name, just can I tell people this story? He said, if you can make something out of this mess, you go right ahead. It was Homiletics 1, and class hadn't started. I was there early. And I was just talking with the students. And so I said, so how was the weekend? And before anybody could say anything, there was this one student huddled in a ball right in front who yelled out, awful! And we're all kind of like, okay. And then he continued. He said, it's the first time I led liturgy at my fieldwork congregation. Well, now we all want to know. What happened to make your first time leading liturgy so awful? So I said to him, I said, well, could you share? And he said, sure. He said, I rehearsed. He said, all Saturday I spent rehearsed. I had the hymnal. I was standing up. I'm doing this. He says, I rehearsed everything because I wanted to be confident. I wanted to be confident in what I was doing. He said, but I hadn't expected the people. He said, I walk out. And he says, I look out and there were so many people. And he said, and I turned around and I face the altar and the bells are chiming and I'm thinking, I don't want to turn back around. So I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I gave myself a little pep talk. I'm like, okay. Well, now, unfortunately, when the bell chiming stopped, the sound engineer turned on his mic. So he didn't just give himself a pep talk. He gave everybody who was gathered there a pep talk. So here's what's happening. You're sitting there in church. The bells are ringing. The seminarian's standing in front, ready to start the service. And there's silence. And all of a sudden you hear, okay, God, you got this. Let's go. I loved it. I loved it. It captures his humility. Okay, God, you got this. And his confidence. Let's go. Now I know that they would never allow me to put this in our hymnal. I know that. I know that, Kent. I do know. They would not allow this. But I would love to put it in your heart. Because after the service is over, when you walk out that doors, you face people that you may not have expected. And life for them is a mess. And there's a lot of anger right now against the Christian church And how do you do mission in a context of anger? And we want to come back for more learning. But Jesus, he graciously stops our overthinking. And he immerses you in his mission. Because he can take care of any mess you make. So when you get to that door and it opens, just say that prayer. Okay, God, you got this. Let's go. Amen.